Musk, Cook join Trump's China mission as tech giants seek Beijing access. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde, and number 9,650, President Donald Trump will lead a delegation of 17 American executives including Tim Cook, Apple, Elon Musk, Tesla/SpaceX, and Larry Fink, BlackRock, to Beijing on May 13 to 15, 2026. The delegation represents major U.S. firms including Meta, Visa, J.P. Morgan, Boeing, and Cargill, marking the first presidential trip to China in approximately 10 years. The visit occurs amid a tariff war where both nations imposed levies exceeding 100% on each other in #X27S goods, with both sides threatening to abandon the current truce. The most consequential corporate delegation in nearly a decade is en route to Beijing, with 17 American executives including Apple's Tim Cook, Tesla and SpaceX chief Elon Musk, and BlackRock's Larry Fink set to accompany President Donald Trump on a state visit to China from May 13 to 15, 2026, marking the first presidential trip to China in roughly 10 years and the highest stakes test yet of a tariff truce both sides have threatened to abandon. The delegation spans the full width of American industrial capital. Meta, Visa, J.P. Morgan, Boeing, and Cargill are among the firms represented, according to a White House official with direct knowledge of the trip's composition who confirmed the 17-executive figure to the BBC. The visit follows a tit-for-tat tariff war that saw both nations impose levies exceeding 100% on each other's goods, a cycle triggered by the sweeping import taxes Trump unveiled in April 2025. That standoff was paused after Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping met face-to-face in South Korea in October. Executives from Boeing, Citigroup, and Qualcomm are also expected to travel with the president, potentially to negotiate deals directly with Chinese counterparts. Details on any specific agreements in preparation were not disclosed. The stakes extend beyond any single deal. When the world's two largest economies arrive at a negotiating table carrying combined cross-border trade relationships worth hundreds of billions of dollars annually, the composition of the delegation is itself a signal. Putting Cook, Musk, and Fink in the same room as Xi Jinping tells Beijing that Washington's private sector wants access restored, and tells Wall Street that the administration is using market access as its primary bargaining chip. Why these three names carry the most weight: Cook, Musk, and Fink are not decorative. Each represents a specific pressure point in the U.S.-China economic relationship. Apple's supply chain remains concentrated in China. Cook's presence signals that the world's largest company by market capitalization needs predictability in manufacturing and component sourcing, and that Beijing's cooperation on tariffs directly affects Apple's cost structure and margins. For institutional investors holding Apple, the trip is a material event. Musk carries a different signal. Tesla operates a gigafactory in Shanghai that has served as one of the company's most productive manufacturing hubs. His attendance alongside Trump, amid his own political proximity to the administration, frames him as simultaneously a private actor and a quasi-diplomatic asset. The dual role creates governance complexity that private equity investors in Tesla-adjacent ventures should monitor. Fink's inclusion speaks directly to capital markets. BlackRock has pursued Chinese institutional investors and domestic fund distribution access for years. His seat on the delegation implies that financial services market access is on the agenda. China's capital account remains one of the last large partially closed markets for global asset managers. Any opening, even marginal, would represent a structurally significant allocation opportunity. A trade war in numbers, what the truce is actually protecting the tariff escalation that preceded this trip was not incremental. Trump's April 2025 measures applied sweeping import taxes across virtually all trading partners. The U.S.-China bilateral response saw tariffs on both sides surpass 100%, a level that functionally severs normal trade for all but the most inelastic goods. The first U.S.-China trade war began in 2018, when Trump announced tariffs on $250 billion of Chinese imports, a figure cited by Georgetown University policy researcher Ning Leng as the moment most analysts mark as the start of hostilities. That baseline has since been layered with Biden-era measures that were deliberately kept in place after 2021. Meaning the 2026 truce is not a restoration of a pre-2018 status quo but a fragile ceiling above a structurally elevated tariff floor. Leng also noted that at the time of the 2018 escalation, China was more reliant on U.S. trade than it is today, and that U.S. exports offered a critical lifeline for Chinese employment. The implication for 2026 is that China has spent 8 years reducing that dependency, which changes its negotiating posture. Beijing can now accept a longer standoff at lower cost than it could in 2018. The tariff truce paused after the South Korea meeting in October is not a treaty. It is a ceasefire with no defined terms. Every week it holds without a formal agreement is a week of residual uncertainty that suppresses cross-border investment decisions and delays capital commitments from multinationals that need regulatory visibility to approve capacity expansion. The executive delegation as a pricing signal for market access. The structure of this delegation tells a sophisticated investor more than any press release will. 17 executives from tech, finance, agriculture, aerospace, and payments represent a deliberate portfolio of American export interests. Boeing needs Chinese aircraft orders. Cargill needs agricultural trade flows. Visa and JP Morgan need financial services reciprocity. The breadth is not accidental. For private equity funds with exposure to any of these sectors, the trip creates a near-term catalyst window. Deals announced during or immediately after a presidential visit carry political momentum that accelerates regulatory approval on the Chinese side. Historical precedent from prior state visits, including multiple rounds of Boeing orders announced during diplomatic engagements over the past two decades, shows that these delegations are designed to produce signable outcomes, not just atmospherics. The absence of semiconductor executives from the disclosed list is also a data point. Qualcomm is named in the supporting reporting, but the major U.S. chip designers who have been most directly affected by export controls on advanced semiconductors to China are not confirmed in the primary delegate roster. That gap suggests the administration is keeping the technology security boundary intact while opening the door on consumer goods, finance, and infrastructure. For investors, that distinction matters. The trip may unlock agricultural and financial services opportunities without meaningfully changing the chip export control architecture. Argentina's waterway tender, a parallel data point on privatization risk 1,000 miles south of Beijing, a different chapter in the geopolitics of infrastructure is playing out. Argentina's Milei administration is finalizing the 25-year concession of the Paraná-Paraguay waterway, the artery that moves roughly 85% of Argentina's foreign trade. Belgian firms Jan de Nul and Deme are the two finalists, with Jan de Nul scoring 66.2 points in technical evaluation against Deme's 42.14 points. Brazilian competitor DTA Engenharia was disqualified for failing to meet required guarantees. The economic bids were pending as of May 11, 2026. The parallel to the Beijing delegation is structural, not geographic. Both events represent sovereign governments using strategic infrastructure and market access as instruments of economic statecraft in 2026. In Beijing, the U.S. is deploying corporate access as diplomatic currency. In Buenos Aires, the Milei government is deploying concession rights as privatization validation, with controversy over alleged bid tailoring and a disputed UN technical report adding political risk to what would otherwise be a clean infrastructure transaction. For Gulf Cooperation Council and Latin America-focused institutional capital, both situations require the same analytical discipline: separate the headline access from the contract architecture, and price the political risk before the financial return. Investment positioning. What institutional capital should watch? The May 13th to 15th window produces three investable scenarios, ranked by probability. First, agricultural and commodity trade, normalization. If Trump and Xi announce even a partial reduction in food and agricultural tariffs, Cargill's presence on the delegation suggests grain and soy flows are a negotiating priority. Commodity-linked equities and EM agriculture funds would re-rate on any concrete announcement. Second, financial services access. Fink's attendance raises the probability that asset management market access is part of the formal agenda. Any confirmed progress on foreign ownership limits or fund distribution rights in China would be a structural positive for global asset managers with existing China joint ventures. Third, technology and supply chain clarity. Cook's presence does not resolve the structural tension between U.S. export controls and Apple's Chinese manufacturing base, but a diplomatic communique that signals tariff stability for consumer electronics would reduce the uncertainty premium embedded in supply chain investment decisions across the sector. What this trip does not fix is the underlying technology security conflict. Chip export controls, advanced AI restrictions, and the broader decoupling of critical technology infrastructure are not on the delegate agenda based on the available evidence. Investors pricing a full normalization into tech multiples are misreading the signal. The Plaquemines view the market is reading this trip as a trade thaw. Plaquemines reads it as a managed pivot, and the distinction has a specific implication for capital allocation. The delegation composition is not the product of organic CEO interest. It is a curated list designed to show Beijing the maximum surface area of American corporate exposure to Chinese market access, and to show Wall Street that the administration can deliver business outcomes from geopolitical confrontation. Both audiences are being managed simultaneously. The second-order effect is underpriced. When 17 of America's largest corporate decision-makers spent 48 hours in Beijing alongside the president, they are not just observers. they are gathering market intelligence, building counterpart relationships, and signaling to their own boards that China exposure is being de-risked at the governmental level. That signal accelerates internal capital allocation decisions that have been frozen by tariff uncertainty for the past 14 months. The CapEx and mergers and acquisitions decisions that get unblocked in the 6 weeks after this trip will not show up in headlines. They will show up in Q3 earnings calls and 2026 guidance revisions. For private equity funds with dry powder in U.S.-China cross-border strategies, the window between now and a formal trade framework, assuming one is eventually reached, is the highest return entry period. The risk premium is still elevated enough to suppress valuations, but the diplomatic momentum has materially shifted. That spread compresses when certainty arrives. The time to build positions is before the communique, not after. Plaquemines' specific thesis, BlackRock's Fink does not travel to Beijing for atmospherics. His presence signals that the administration has pre-cleared some form of financial services reciprocity as a deliverable. Asset managers with existing China infrastructure, including those with minority joint venture stakes established before the 2020 regulatory tightening, are the most leveraged beneficiaries of any ownership limit relaxation. That is the trade the Beijing delegation is quietly setting up. The bottom line: 17 American executives on Air Force One to Beijing is not diplomacy. It is a term sheet delivery mechanism. The tariff truce is fragile, the political controversy on both sides is real, and the structural technology decoupling is not being reversed. But the presence of Cook, Musk, and Fink in the same room as Xi Jinping on May 13th to 15th creates a catalyst for unlocking cross-border capital decisions that have been in suspension since April 2025. Institutional investors who wait for the formal communique to act will pay the certainty premium. The asymmetric opportunity is in the gap between the current elevated risk premium and the post-trip de-risking that is already structurally underway.